sunset and evening star, and one clear call for me. And may there be no moaning of the bar when I put out to sea, but such a tide as moving seems asleep, too full for sound and foam, when that which drew from out the boundless deep turns again home, turns home. Twilight and evening sadness of farewell when I embark, for though from out are born of time and place, the flood may bear me far, I hope to see my pilot face to face when I have
Welcome to another Bible lesson from the Hamilton Church of Christ. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 3, "For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." This verse is simply saying we ought not to think of ourselves more highly than we really are. We ought to really know what our true position is in life, how we should have the proper perspective regarding our station in life, and not to be proud and haughty. And if we think of ourselves as being more than we are, we really are just deceiving ourselves. We're not deceiving God or really anyone else. We're deceiving ourselves. And we can know more about this relationship that we should have with God and how we fit into the grand scheme of things by studying from the Bible. Join us today in our study.
God's children too long have been burdened. They are longing for heaven's green shore, where heartaches are left far behind us, and burdens are carried no question, O Father, how long? Then I take one more look at my Calvary, and it gives me the strength to go on. Come morning, I walk by the river, I'll rest neath the evergreen tree. So I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. Let's go.
We're continuing our study in the 10th chapter of John, and last time we'd gotten into the first few verses of this chapter, which are a relating of this parable given by Jesus of the sheepfold and the shepherd. This is a parable teaching about Christ and his disciples. In our last lesson, we'd gotten into the third verse. We can just read the first five verses of this 10th chapter of John. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now, as we look at this parable, we'd like to go back today and kind of give an overview of it to define some of the terms that are used here so that we can understand it. Otherwise, there's no way that we can really have an understanding of this parable. We first of all need to determine to whom Jesus is speaking as he gives this parable. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you. And the word you here refers to those people that he was speaking to in the previous chapter, the 9th chapter, the Pharisees. They were the ones who did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Even though he'd healed this blind man, they still didn't want to believe, and they even got so angry about it that they cast the blind man out. They disfellowshipped him. And so in the last part of the 9th chapter, Jesus is talking to these Pharisees, and he's telling them that they are really blind. And they say, are we blind also? And so here we have a people who think that they are the shepherds, these Pharisees. They think that they are God's designated leader of his people, and Jesus is telling them very plainly that they really are not the true shepherds. They are those that would come up some other way into the sheepfold. They are not the ones that have been designated by the scriptures, by the prophecies, to be the true shepherd of this flock, the flock of God. And so he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Now we need to define what a sheepfold is. In this day and in the ancient times in Palestine, being a shepherd was a common way to make a living. And the shepherds and husbandmen lived in villages, and they went out each day into the fields and the pasture to take care of their flocks and their crops. Well, as the shepherds would come in the evening, they would bring their flocks with them and put them into a common area known as the sheepfold. And they would have someone there to guard it at night, to take care of the sheep. The sheep would be locked up, safe and secure from any kind of violence, any kind of predator, animal, or a thief. And then the next day, the shepherd would come and call his sheep out of the sheepfold. And so that's what this is depicting here. Christ is coming to the sheepfold to take his disciples out. And so the sheepfold doesn't really represent heaven at all, for we don't read about thieves being able to climb up some other way to get into heaven and rob anything out of heaven. The sheepfold doesn't represent the church, because Christ wouldn't be leading them out of the church. He'd be continuing to use the church if it were the church. But we find that the sheepfold here actually represents Judaism, where some of God's people were to be found, the Jewish system of things, the Jewish law. And so here God's people were still under this law at this time. They were supposed to be here at this time, but the shepherd was going to lead them out of this. And so that is the sheepfold. Some of his disciples are in this sheepfold. Now, he does have sheep that are in another fold, that are not of this fold. That's going to be the Gentiles. But here we're talking about the Jewish people that are living under the Jewish system of things. Now, the next thing we need to define is the door. He says, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold. What is the door here? And the door simply means the lawful way of entry. That was the way provided by the law for the shepherd to get into the sheepfold where the sheep were. And so anyone who came any other way besides this lawful way of entry, the same was what he calls you, a thief and a robber. I would like to note that in verses 7 and 9, he also mentions a door. And the door in verse 7 and the door in verse 9 are not the same as this door here in verse 1. There are talking about different doors altogether. This verse 1 is the door of the sheepfold, and verse 7 is the door of the sheep. It was the door that the sheep were going to be using. And door in verse 9 has to do with the door to salvation. But here he's talking about simply the lawful entry into this sheepfold as the shepherd. So the others who come up some other way, another way besides the lawful entry, another way besides what the law has provided to be done, those are classified here as thieves and robbers. Now, a thief actually is one that comes by stealth. That's what the word means. Come secretly or unnoticed. And a robber is one that would come with violence. And so any who would try to enter into this sheepfold by any other way than the lawful means, the means by which God had provided through his prophets and through his testimony in the Old Testament, they would be thieves and robbers. So he says in verse 2, "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." So Christ was the lawful shepherd. He did come in by the proper door. He did come in the way that the law provided him to come. He was the one that the prophecies provided for, and he fulfilled every prophecy as he made his entry into the sheepfold. Certainly he was the one born of the virgin. He was born of the tribe of Judah in the city of Bethlehem, born under the law according to Galatians 4:4. He was circumcised the eighth day. When Mary went to the temple after his birth to be purified, he was presented to God in the temple. On and on, Jesus fulfilled every letter that the law provided for this shepherd to fulfill. He was the one to come in the proper way. He did come by the door. He didn't climb up some other way. He didn't usurp something that wasn't his. He didn't come a way which was not provided for him, but he was the true and lawful shepherd. And so as we think of that, then we see that he was the genuine shepherd. He was the one that entered by the door. He's the one who had the porter to open the door for him, and the sheep would recognize his voice. So if we're searching for the shepherd today, the true Savior today, we have to find the one who came by the door, the one who came by the provisions that were made by the law for him to come. And we'll find that Jesus Christ was truly the one who did that. So in verse 3, he says, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice." Now we have to define who the porter is. The word porter here simply means the doorkeeper. And as we look and see what the scriptures teach about this, John the Baptist was the doorkeeper. He was the one who was ready to allow the true shepherd to come into the sheepfold. And so we see that John the Baptist did prepare the way of the Lord. He was the one who introduced the shepherd to Israel. He was the one who said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who cometh to take away the sins of the world." He introduced the shepherd to his disciples, and some of his disciples immediately began to follow the true shepherd as John was standing there observing. So John was the one who opened the door. He did not allow anyone else to come in through this door. He did not proclaim anyone else to be the true shepherd, the Son of God, the Lamb of God. Did not proclaim anyone else to be one who was going to increase while he would decrease. But John proclaimed very plainly, and we can read this in the Bible numbers of times, that this was the Messiah, this was the Son of God, this was the one that they were looking for. This is the one he was looking for. And so the porter opened the door to him. Anyone else who would usurp this position as the true shepherd, of the true shepherd, would be a thief and a robber, because the porter never opened the door for anyone else but Jesus Christ. So he says in verse 3 that the sheep hear his voice. Now this is one of the characteristics of the sheep. The sheep are going to hear his voice. They will know his voice. So if we want to know the true nature of the sheep today, we're going to see that they are going to be those that know his voice and hear his voice. If you find a group of people who are not hearing the teachings of Jesus, they do not understand what he's saying, they do not really apply what he's saying, then there is a grave danger that they are not the true sheep, because the sheep here hear his voice. Those who refuse to listen to the Savior, those who refuse to mind what he has to say, they are not going to be the true sheep. But the true sheep are going to be those who hear his voice, they know his doctrine, and they are familiar with him as their shepherd. He further says, "And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out." Jesus is familiar with these sheep. He well knows them. He does not have to become acquainted with them now once they are his sheep. He knows them just as a shepherd would know each individual sheep in his flock. Whereas a strange shepherd, a stranger, one that's not the true shepherd, would approach the flock, not only would they not know him, but he wouldn't know them. He wouldn't know their needs. He wouldn't know their name. He wouldn't know their individual characteristics. But this shepherd knows his own sheep. He calleth them by name and leadeth them out. He doesn't drive them out, but he leads them out. He goes before them. He shows them the way out. Now, to lead them out simply means that he is taking them from Judaism to Christianity. That's where he leads them out. And, of course, this would come after the cross, after the church was established, and then they would be led into Christianity. The Jewish system of things was going to shortly come to an end. There would, in a very short time, no longer be a temple, no longer be the order of worship that they had, the type of worship that they had, the sacrifices, the altar, no longer be a Levitical priesthood with a chief priest, no longer be this council. And even today, there is still not a Levitical priesthood. The Jewish order of things was drastically changed and actually ceased to be in that sense. And the church was the thing that God intended to remain. And so the sheep would be led out of this sheepfold into the church, into Christianity, into the new order of things. And so for this to happen to these people, the shepherd would come into the sheepfold by the door, let in by the porter, who John the Baptist, and he would call his sheep by name, they would hear his voice, and he would lead them out. So verse 4 says, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." So Jesus putteth forth his own sheep. He didn't bring any out that were not his. Any who were not his followers, any who were not believers. These sheep had to believe that he was the shepherd, or not only would they not follow him, but he wouldn't be willing to lead them. Only those that were his own sheep, only those who knew him, only those who believed him. And he goeth before them. He led the way. He certainly, by his teachings here upon this earth, by his close, intense instruction of his disciples, by his going to the cross, giving his life up, by his resurrecting from the grave, ascending into heaven, and even today, giving us the close guidance that we have now, he does lead them. He does go before them. And that's important for him to go before. It's important for him to be the leader, for him to know which way that the sheep are to go. But it's also equally important to note that the sheep follow him. The sheep do not follow any other shepherd. They do not allow any other to usurp this position of authority over them, to take this place of the true shepherd, to be the one that they're going to follow, but they only follow him, for they know his voice. They recognize his teachings. They recognize the truth when they hear it. So that someone who would teach something that was not the truth, the first ones to realize that this is not the truth are going to be the true disciples of Jesus. They know his voice. They will not hear another voice. They will not allow another voice to lead them or to guide them. And so in verse 5, he says, "And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." His flock do not know the false doctrines. They're not taught those doctrines. They do not live and abide by and believe those doctrines. They look upon them as something that is strange. They look upon them something that is not to be followed. They will not follow the strange doctrines. A stranger will they not follow. Anyone who usurps himself into this position of a shepherd that is not lawfully provided for in the Word of God, that does not come in to them by the door, as it were, that doesn't have the porter to open to them, then they're strangers. They're the ones that he classifies as thieves and robbers, and the true sheep will not follow them, but will flee from him. It's just not a matter of not following, it's also a matter of fleeing from, not staying in the presence of, not allowing this usurper to have that position over them. They will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. They do not know these false teachings. That is, they do not know them to the point that they believe them, that they make them a part of their doctrine or part of their lives. They know not the voice of strangers. And so we see here some true characteristics of the true disciples. They do not know the voice of strangers. They do not follow these false doctrines. And so we today, if we're going to be the sheep of the true shepherd, we're going to have to hear his voice and to not know the voice of strangers, to not allow ourselves to be practicing these things that are displeasing to him, these things that are contrary to his doctrine, but we simply do not know the voice of strangers. So we have here then an overview of this parable that Jesus gave, and we try to give an explanation or a definition of the various components of it, so that we now know what the sheepfold was. It was Judah. We now know that the sheep were his disciples in Judah, that he was going to lead out of Judah. We now know that the door was the lawful way of entry. Jesus was the true shepherd, and John the Baptist was the doorkeeper or the porter that opened the door to him. We also know that the sheep hear his voice, they recognize him, he knows them and recognizes them. They do not know the voice of strangers, and they will not follow a stranger. Verse 6 says, "This parable spake Jesus unto them," the them referring, of course, to those Pharisees, those Pharisees who thought they were going to be the leaders, they would be the shepherd of Judah, but really they were not the true shepherds. "So he spake unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them." So they did not understand this parable. And that's, of course, the very common thing that we find in the Gospels. When Jesus spoke to those that were not his disciples, to those who were not his true sheep, he spoke to them about the kingdom in parables. And they didn't understand the parables because it wasn't given to them at this time to understand. He only explained the parables to his disciples. When they would be with his disciples in private, then he would explain the meaning of the parables. Otherwise, these people who thought they were so wise, who thought they had so much wisdom and understanding, did not understand these parables. And so, verse 7, "Then Jesus said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." Now, here we have another door mentioned. And this is not the same as the door of the shepherd mentioned in verse 1. That was the door that the shepherd was going to enter the sheepfold with. Here is the door that the sheep are going to use. This is the door of the sheep. This is the door that will be used for the sheep to leave Judaism and to go into Christianity. He says, "I am the door of the sheep." And so we see that Christ himself then was the door by which the sheep would pass out of Judaism into Christianity. There was no other way for them to do that, only through Christ. And so we see then they were going into the institution that we presently know as the church. It was a continuation of God's original church, but it was the one that Christ would lead his sheep into. "I am the door of the sheep." And so we see then that it's not so confusing when we see Christ in one place going in the door, and then another place he's saying that he is the door. Here he is the door, all right, but it's the door of the sheep, not the door of the sheepfold that was to be used by the shepherd. So verse 8 says, "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Now this has to be taken into consideration as to what he's talking about when he says, "All that ever came before me." Certainly he's not talking about Moses. He's not talking about the prophets. He's talking about these Pharisees who would try to usurp this position of being the shepherd. They were trying to take the place of Christ. They were trying to denounce Christ. They were wanting to put him to death, actually, and be the leader of God's people in his place. And so all that ever did this, all that ever came in such a way that it was not provided for by the Scriptures, he says, are thieves and robbers. A thief, as we know, comes by stealth. A robber comes with violence. But he says the sheep did not hear them. The sheep wouldn't follow these false leaders, these leaders that usurped themselves, these leaders that were not the true shepherds, the sheep did not hear them, he says. And so we know then very plainly that if we are true disciples, we're not going to hear those that usurp this authority, that take it on for themselves. And even today in the New Testament age, in this last dispensation of time which we live now, there are those that want to take on this position of leadership. They want to actually act in the place of Christ himself, and the sheep will not hear them. The sheep will not follow them. And to do so is tragedy. To do so is to actually fall away and to be a part of that apostate church that we read about so plainly in the New Testament, particularly in the book of Revelation. And so Jesus teaching this very plainly, the sheep did not hear them, not before the cross nor after the cross. And so we see here quite plainly what our position should be today as we have to deal with those who would take this position upon themselves of leadership, of authority that's not given to them by the Bible. The Bible does not provide for them to have it. They're not really coming in by the door, so to speak. Our position has to be that we will not hear them. Then in verse 9 he says, I am the door. Now here he's talking about another door. This is the door of salvation. This is the door that we have actually to get into the church itself. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now, this is the door, as we said, that not to the sheepfold of Judaism. It's not the door that John the Baptist or the porter would open, but this is the door into the church. I am the door. And another place Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if we get into the church, if we're going to be saved, we must enter in by him, for he is the door. He is the door to salvation. He is the door that all of the sheep will use. That is our lesson. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.
We are headed for that great, wonderful country. We've told the land of sin, we're through going to our new home up yonder. God's word is the map, and we treasure it fondly. We travel this great caravan, keeps on rolling along. We're happy, we are traveling o'er the trail that is winding.
It's winding
all the mountains and through the valleys below
to heaven.
Bubbling springs of pure living waters we're finding
to strengthen
this great caravan, keeps on rolling along. Dangers all along lurking in the dark shadows
around us,
we will never fear. Christ is always alone
protecting.
He will never refuse to captain our battles.
He's with us
while this caravan keeps on rolling along. We're happy, we are traveling o'er the trail that is winding.
It's winding
all the mountains and through the valleys below
to heaven.
Bubbling springs of pure living waters we're finding
to strengthen
this great caravan keeps on rolling along. We're happy, we are traveling o'er the trail that is winding.
It's winding
all the mountains and through the valleys below
to heaven.
Bubbling springs of pure living waters we're finding
to strengthen
this great caravan keeps on rolling along. We're happy, we are traveling o'er the trail that is winding.
It's winding
all the mountains and through